Yes. So, for example, in terms of this mind training practice, because it is a more advanced or higher practice, because it is linked to this training in bodhicitta, in this altruistic mind, then there are those who can think, well, then the general practices of the Mahayana, like refuge and abiding by cause and effect and restraining from the 10 non-virtues, are no longer required. And this advice is saying that's not the correct understanding, that's not the way to cultivate one's practice. One should always keep those fundamental principles in mind. Okay. And then down the page we come to the fourth paragraph, beginning, transform your attitude but maintain your natural behavior. And this is a similar advice where, again, when one, there are people who, in cultivating this altruistic mind of bodhicitta, then become kind of almost crazy in their behavior. And that is not, again, not the way to behave, that one generates that quality, but at the same time maintains a natural or a behavior that is in harmony with the way of people around you. You don't change your outward behavior because you're generating this inner understanding. Okay, so in the past in India and in Tibet, there were many people who engaged in this practice and generated the realizations, but changed their behavior. And so this advice is saying, transform your attitude but maintain your natural behavior. Okay. All right. I'm not sure that that's the same translation with this one. So I will say the next point is to not do not practice in a biased way. That there can be people who are cultivating the mind training practice and they are with their friends or people who are close to them, they feel that they can practice the mind training approach. With people they don't get on with, that they're not close to it or dislike, they don't apply that mind training approach, or they feel that they can cultivate mind training towards the human beings of the world but not to those of other realms of the non-human beings. So do not practice in a biased way. One applies the mind training principles to all aspects of one's life. Okay, so that if we look that the basis of this teaching is the mind of compassion, as it is generally explained within the Mahayana, the focus of one's compassion is all sentient beings. That if one thinks of all living beings within the six realms, they all equally wish for happiness and not to have unhappiness and suffering, and therefore one equally generates this mind of compassion to all of them, wishing all beings to be free of suffering. And so in encompassing them all, therefore one does not hold a biased attitude, one directs that thought towards all. Yes. Okay. All right. So then the next point is in terms of this text, we go up to the middle of the third paragraph, train consistently to deal with difficult situations. So this is that one is making an effort to be consistent and constant in when we face difficult situations. And there are a number of examples given in the text. So one of the difficult situations that we meet is those that we live with or are close to, our family members, the members of our household, or those that we work closely with. And because it is very easy with those people that we're with a lot for it to be difficult, for harsh words to be spoken, for situations of anger or irritation. And so that this is one of the difficult situations one needs to be careful with and make a special effort and interest not to kind of fight and get angry, say harsh words. That if we think about it, there's not, with strangers, with people we don't know very well, there's not much occasion to get angry. But with the people we're with a lot, there is. And so one realizes that's a difficult situation and makes an effort to apply the mind training in that situation. So this is an easy example. We probably know people like this who, when they meet strangers or people for the first time, they're very friendly and smiling and they seem really nice, and you always think that they would they were someone that would kind of get on well with everyone and be a very kind person. But when you see them at home, that in with their close family members, they're very angry and they fight with everyone and don't get on. And that's an example of someone who's not making a special effort to deal with the situation of those who are close in our family or people you're working closely with.
So this case, I have one example. Our student, their family. So when I'm not going to say this name, yeah. Whenever I see them, they are very nicely. They are smiling and you know they are talking very nicely. And one day, the woman rang me that her partner is very always angry with her, and yeah, she was complaining. And then the other day, the man is also rang to me and his church would complain that she told me that you have to go. You have to leave our house, and I'm outside, you know.
Mm.
So they are saying this. So I can't believe. I for me very hard to believe. Whenever I see them, they are very nice, you know. They smiling, you know. And then I told that woman, I talked with him, that man, your partner, maybe he will come back today, yeah. So then, next day, he didn't come back home, he's staying somewhere. So I thought that this is not big problem. No, this is not a big problem. They always, whenever I see they're joking, you know, but so that's why I thought this is not a big problem. I told him, you know, he will come back. I will. So next day, the partner is going to come back. And then, for me, a bit hard to believe, you know, it's not that big problem. So then later I noticed that, noticed that they always, in family they always, you know, argue each other. But other people always, you know, when we see other people always, you know, very nicely, you know, smile, you know.
Mm.
So this is the always happening there. So, you know, our family is more close to us, yeah?
Yeah.
More close to us, more beneficial to us. And then we have to love them, we have to, you know?
Mm.
So this is the important, yeah?
Yes, easy. Yeah, so in general, our family, you know, is very kind and important in our life and supports us. But one has to make an effort to be careful because of this, you know, I guess we'd colloquially say familiarity breeds contempt, you know. Being too familiar, then you're not careful with the harmony within the family.
Rangi Mishemba Lamno Chi Pasinga. Nobody didn't care much,
Okay, a second example of a difficult circumstance that one has to be kind of vigilant with or make effort to train in is the people that from your side you haven't done anything to harm them, but for whatever reason they harm you, either verbally saying something unpleasant or hurtful or doing something that harms you when you didn't from your side do anything to kind of provoke it. And then so that's a situation we have to make an effort with. It's a difficult situation. Okay, so in that, often if we're not being careful, then it's easy to kind of return the harm or say something back. And so when they're saying to us to deal with difficult situations, be careful in difficult situations, it's saying if you approach that carefully, then it protects yourself from becoming angry. And so by taking care with that situation, you protect yourself from anger. Okay. And another example of a difficult situation is this time relating to how oneself sees other people. Sometimes there are people that one, just on seeing them, one feels some kind of unease or dislike, and one could say that through previous karma, just on seeing that person oneself has some kind of unpleasant feeling. So when that's happening from your own side, that's also a situation you need to be careful in, that there can be many causes and conditions that bring about anger, and that is one of them, when one, you know, from one's own side feels some dis-ease. And so again, that's a difficult circumstance that one needs to take care in. Yes, so that one can see that sometimes with a stranger, even though they're a stranger, if you have some kind of unease or uncomfortable feeling, unpleasant feeling just on seeing them, then it's very easy to get angry after that. So one is careful in that situation. This is our view. That our view, sometimes you just see people and there's some kind of, you don't trust them or whatever. And then from that it's easy to get angry. Therefore, one is careful when one sees that happening.
They do actually react by actually being nasty or mean or ungenerous. You shouldn't take that lying down, though. You could just avoid them, couldn't you?
Med sansan la de sozola mijemba sozola nova chena grek signemba lavna de sozo kazos kake machewa dena de gugres de kozo 마토가 답시 체나 되기도 했어.
그래도 뒤따기 되기 체나 되기도
했어.
마나 바이나 약실에 대한. 네, 내일로가 있는 권용도 실을.
Yeah. So you basically you see what's the most skillful situation, skillful thing to do in that situation. If you reply to their kind of harmful words or whatever the nastiness, then the problem becomes greater. So it might be more skillful not to meet them, or you look at what's the right way to approach it. Right. Yes. Through the if one is familiar with practice, then one will come to a point where one doesn't get angry or is not reacting in that sense. Yeah. So that can come. That will come about through one's practice.
I actually have some experience. Some people don't want to get the attention, so when we kind of ignore them, they just get even more angry. And so it's actually their side to get angry on other people who don't react to their.
Okay. That there are situations where you have to say something. This is the point about looking at the situation and seeing what you need to do. The point of this advice, going back to your way of saying that you don't do anything, the point of this advice is so that your own mind is not becoming angry. When you're being careful, you're protecting your mind from being angry. But it doesn't mean you don't say anything or do anything. That there may be a situation where you need to say something, and this also comes up in the mind training teaching when it says that there are situations where if you don't say something, someone's behaviour is going to get worse and worse, and they will create heavier and heavier actions. So in that situation, you need to say something. But the advice is in terms of keeping your own mind from being angry, and then with a good heart or a clear mind, then you may say something or do something. Doesn't mean doing and saying nothing. Yeah. So taking a step back and looking at it, we can use the advice that we generally do, that person who is harming you, that person is kind of driven by their mind, and their mind is being driven by afflictive emotions. So it is through afflictive emotion that they engage in that harmful action. It's not the fault of the person themselves. And so if one stands back and looks at it in that way, that gives you a bit of distance, objectivity on it. So that one uses a wisdom approach where one separates the person and their continuum of mind and the afflictive emotions that cloud that, so that one differentiates between the afflictive emotions and the person, and seeing that it is not the person themselves, one does not become angry with the person. And this is an advice you will generally find within Buddhist texts as a way of using wisdom to look at the situation. And so there's in the text called the Bodhisattva's Way of Life, there's a particular advice around this, that when one sees someone behaving badly in that way, if one cannot generate compassion, one may not be able to generate compassion towards them, but it would be a great pity to become angry with them. So that from the perspective of the Buddhists and Bodhisattvas, they generate compassion when they see us as beings with cyclic existence. And why do they feel compassion towards us? Because as persons, we are kind of under the power of our mind. Our mind becomes driven by afflictive emotion, and that through that we bring about many aspects of our own suffering, and many experience of suffering and unhappiness arise for us. So seeing that situation, they regard us with compassion. So that you find in Buddhist texts, people who are, there's a term they use for beings who can't, kind of, aren't in control of their own mind, and in that sense, not having a Dharma practice, as being, they use the term of the childish. And what does that mean? It means if you think about how a child behaves, a child may put their hand in the fire and burn themselves and then cry because they've burnt themselves because they didn't know not to put their hand there. And so that kind of quality of not knowing about the things that one does that actually cause one's own suffering. Whereas someone who engages in practice and generates the realization. They use the term Arya, or noble one, because they are generating this quality of being able to control their mind.
This might be way too early, but are we supposed to forgive everything?
Forgive everything.
In terms of there's people annoying or doing harmful things.
Mm-hmm.
You take yourself out of the situation, but ultimately you should be able to let it go and forgive them.
All right. I'm not sure they forgive Geshe-la. What's it kind of suggest? Yes, so that's a basic advice, that one would not hold a grudge, that one would not see them as faulty for behaving in that way. Oh, I didn't say that one. Hang on, there was one in there. Don't rely on other conditions, the one that's immediately under train consistently. So that this is, the point of this advice is saying that if one's engaging in mind training practice, you don't need to rely on outer circumstances to be able to make use of it. You determine to practice it in all circumstances. Okay. And so that the next one is very similar to this transforming of attitude, that one keeps one's natural actions of body and speech, but transform your mind. Yes. Excellent. Okay, and this is a situation which arises in many circumstances for the monks, because there is as in one's practice, one can do many different actions, outer actions, in terms of how one is eating or behaving or engaging in meditation. And the advice is always, before one is changing one's outer physical actions, one changes one's own inner aspiration, one's own mind. The Tibetan word is actually, dumba, is like one's aspiration. So first one looks to one's mind or one's own aspiration before changing the outer behavior. Okay, so that then underneath that, don't speak of others' incomplete qualities, that different beings through different karmas have impairments, physical or otherwise, impairments, incomplete qualities in whatever way, and one doesn't speak or focus on those.
있습니다. 그래서 가염이 선수는 시행이 아닌 법규의 통선을 가르치고 있으나, 와, 시행. 시행이 규의 통선까지 이제 시행이 규의 주의할 매력을 말해봐. 시행이 유대인 주의할 답시적을 준비해. 시, 유대인 주의할 강토통 시행이 유대인 주의할 규의 주의할 연습. 그래서 규의 권한 여가지 규의 통선을 가르치고, 통선은? 어떤데, 근데라 인지 말이야. 나라 나와 마다와 인지 봐. 나와 마다와 인지 봐.
Yes. And so then, further than that, not speaking of others' incomplete qualities, but not concerning yourself with others' business in terms of that even one sees faults in incomplete qualities, that one doesn't focus on speaking of others' faults, but one focuses on speaking of their qualities. And that should one see faults, then one thinks that this may be my mistaken understanding, this may be appearing to me wrongly. If we think about it, other people may not have faults, but we may see them as faulty in certain ways, even if they are not like that. So we don't see everything clearly. And so therefore, even when we see faults, then we should think, well, maybe, you know, I might be mistaken about this. That a lot of our perception of faults and qualities in others is are things that our own mind kind of exaggerates, or that our own mind exaggerates what appears to us as qualities or faults of others. For example, if we like someone, then we tend to think everything they do is good, that, you know, we see what, you know, how they eat or whatever they say is a good thing. But if we don't like someone, that person may say something nice to us, and yet we will be kind of looking, we'll have a doubt about why are they saying that. And so that we can see that our own conceptual mind imputes, puts, adds, exaggerates what may be faults or qualities in a person. So if we see that, then we can think, oh, well, maybe it's not happening as it appears to me. You know, I might be mistaken about this. Okay, then give up every hope of reward. We may engage in virtue or generosity or benefiting others. And so this, in its simplest form, is that not having an expectation that because you did something good to them, they will return, make some return of that kindness. And then we can think even kind of more long term than that, where our one's practice of bodhicitta and the Dharma and so on, that one isn't hoping for benefit for oneself through those practices. And then the next one of avoiding poisonous food. That this is very similar to the other advices, that when we're practicing Dharma and engaging in virtue, it's important that it is not mixed with the eight worldly motivations of thinking that in this life, doing that action for hoping for fame or reputation, for gain or praise or pleasure. Because this is, when we do it, when our motivation is mixed in that way, it is like turning the practice into a poisonous food, and the quality of poison is it's not so suitable to eat. But this is a difficult thing to practice. It is difficult to practice in this way. Okay, then don't maintain inverted loyalty. So loyalty, the quality of loyalty is having that, being loyal of whatever someone does, that you maintain a loyal, good relationship. And inverted loyalty is when you would continually hold a grudge, like someone has done something harmful or bad to you, and no matter how many years go by, you are loyal to your grudge. And so not holding that kind of mind of a grudge, because in the end that kind of inverted loyalty or grudge will make oneself unhappy. So on one hand, that grudge will cause oneself unhappiness. Further than that, if you think long term over many lifetimes, there are many times that beings will have benefited oneself, and one may not remember and recognize this at this time, but in fact one has received great benefit from them. And even if one took the times that they have harmed one, the times that they have benefited oneself over that long term are greater. Okay, and then down to don't wait in ambush. This is very similar. And it's using that image of the ambush, if you have abandoned, who waits in the narrowest path to attack, that in the same way that when someone has harmed one, don't kind of sit there waiting for just the right opportunity to get back at them, so you don't wait in ambush. And again, very similar point, don't strike at the vital point, which is like, for example, when there's an opportunity to put someone down in front of many, many people. But if you do that, if you talk about their faults and put them down, from that person, they may have tremendous, that may be extremely embarrassing and shameful for them and cause them immense suffering. So, again, that's what is meant in this point of not striking at the vital point, not causing someone intense suffering by, you know, picking on the spot to hit them. All right. That's right. This is they don't place the load of a horse on a pony, or they don't place the load of a yak on a cow. That you don't pass off the when something goes wrong, you don't pass off the fault to another person and say, oh, it wasn't my fault, it was their fault, and put it onto someone else. It's a very straightforward one, that one, in fact. So don't sprint to win the race. So this is this kind of arises in many different circumstances. An easy example is when there's some kind of object to be gained, or some money or wealth to be gained, and the instinctive thing is to try and do something to get it for oneself first. So it's saying don't engage in that kind of trying to get it for your first for yourself, whatever the object is. Okay. Don't turn gods into devils. That, in general, in terms of like worldly gods, worldly helpers, that we rely on them for assistance. But there may be a time when that they harm instead of assisting, if we're talking about kind of worldly or ordinary gods. And this, the analogy for this is that in general we rely on, we think of Dharma, our spiritual practice, to accomplish benefit, that it decreases our self-grasping, it decreases self-cherishing, decreases pride, decreases anger. And that's the purpose of the mind training practice, is to achieve that in the mind. But it could happen that one practices Dharma and instead one's pride increases, or one's anger increases, one's harmful mind increases. And in that case, you have turned a god into a devil. You have turned something that was to be beneficial into something that is harmful. So
they do some public in a holder and chip together, usually a tongue I get shared where you must see it. Oyachi, Yachi, Yerba, my dear, Topoya, and my dear, you were one yet a lump sin. I should be some matter with a condemned Gurvaya.
So maybe not so often that anger increases, but often pride can increase as one's realizations, one feels one's understanding and realization of the Dharma, then there can be a sense of pride or and kind of an arrogance, a sense of being higher because of one's understanding. So then don't seek others' misery as a means to happiness. And again, this can arise in many different forms, but and you can see that people thinking that they will gain great benefit from themselves or great wealth, then being indifferent to, well, whatever happens to anyone else doesn't really matter, because if I do this, I will gain. And so this advice is saying don't seek others' misery as one's own means to happiness or gain. So that you can see this comes back to the root of all of this that we have talked about before, that everyone wishes for happiness and does not wish for suffering and unhappiness, even from the tiniest insect up to the humans, the transmigrants who are humans. None of them wish for misery and unhappiness. They are all equally wish for happiness. And with understanding that, then you can see that advice is like a branch of the altruistic mind of the bodhicitta practice. Okay, so these are the 18 Labdha Chogye. So these are 18 vices, and you can see they cover many things, and there will be things in there that are very useful for your mind, that you feel are really suitable for you. So these, so you take out and you make use of what works for your mind. Okay.
Can you say a little bit more about that sentence about don't rely on other conditions? What do you mean, other conditions?
Kien Jemba Martin.
Which is tatana ale tu se ba tati ko le chungje ya wo chune na che na ya wo ma chung bi che da che ba ha ni ri ale tati da ta chung le se ta me da mo bi ta na thandi ta ke jo chi che che na ko ni ma chi su su e ni ma ya wo chi chung yu bi che
So this this has many different aspects, and one of them is that we do things when there are favourable circumstances, and we don't do them when there are when it feels unfavourable or unsuitable. So there can be, for example, on the days when it feels like a good day and everything suits, then you do your virtue or your practice or whatever. And on the days when it seems unsuitable or a bad day, you don't do it. So in that sense, you're relying on other conditions.
It's like a stand. It is like saying, for example, you know, if you have a good if you practice patient, you know. So if they are easy way you do practice, and you know hard condition you can't do. So not just like that.
Yeah, so if so other conditions. So when it's easy to be patient, then you try and practice your patience. But the minute you meet some difficult conditions, then you don't, you give it up, you know, you give it up that this is too hard.
For example, you see, if you have a child, yeah, you love the child, your daughter, if you have a daughter. So your daughter, you know, she was Sabda Shiva.
Shuna, yeah.
If your daughter, you know, beats you.
Hits you.
Hits you, you can't patient, yeah. If somebody hits you, you can't patient, not
like that.
Not like that.
So, you know, someone that you love dearly, like a daughter, if they hit you, you would be patient. If anyone else did that to you, you wouldn't be patient at all. So you're depending on other conditions, so not like that. You're keeping on practicing. You keep your well, that's just the easy example. That you, if when it says don't rely on other conditions, is you're not waiting for the easy situation to practice in and not practicing in the difficult situations. You keep practicing regardless of the outer conditions. Okay. Tamadi. Jengi kangal de susu dewa yoma ma che de grants
once. Jengi yala de tu ma che se. Susu ki bu yoma ge chi ro ba. Shena tu bu chi chuna sam na ke ba me che ba. Na ke ba. Shena tu bu chi na sam de che ba. Ta ti ma che se.
So it's simply that when you're thinking about your own happiness, you don't become indifferent to whether that would cause others suffering. There can be people, when they focus on their own happiness, they're not worried whatever happens or if it causes a problem for other people. So not behaving in that way. Yep. Oh, zhe la lang ma zha, the Geshe-la-yang, the address again. Yeah. So that, you know, the principal thing is if oneself has done something faulty, one doesn't put the blame off oneself and point that it's their fault or that person did it or put it onto someone else. And if you look at the situation in kind of court of law and so on, most of it, everyone is saying that it's not my fault, I didn't do it, he did it, she did it, you know, someone else did it. And you don't know, I mean, in fact, you don't know whose fault it is, but what they're saying is don't put the fault off onto somebody else. So if you're arguing and then you kind of well, that is the first point. arguing and then you kind of pull up all other past problems kind of thing.
Yeah, it's actually not admitting the same thing, isn't it? Not just sticking
with it. De re de san san lam so so tsoba che du me chik de tsoba chik bo mai de ngoma di che son namana so mambo kyun che wa che na de nan shen zu di lang ma sha de nan shen ru es sigdos so so kai so shog chik la tsoba yu yin a me chik nana kyangi kyun jemba de namana so che ganga
Subhanallah.
Yes, same. Yeah, because the point is that you're trying to do something to put the fault onto the other person. Where, you know, you're verbally trying to bring up things that make it the fault of the other person. And this, the essence of this is saying don't make it the fault of the other person.
Okay.
If there's someone that you are kind of living with, staying with, then it's better to try and find a way to get on.
But the Tibetan Tibetan people are saying this, saying if your relatives, you know, relatives, those relatives that stay far, it is good for more good
harmony.
Good harmony. Right. if food it is very close, it is good.
So with relatives in the Tibetan proverb, with relatives, a bit of distance can promote good relations, but with food it's always good to be close. Yeah, a proverb. saying.
Actually, the relatives close, they're always there, so, you know, arguing, you know, all this happening. So,
Definitely there would be a karmic influence in what is happening. The point is kind of not necessarily the work in this, in the sense of working through it. The point is that one needs to control one's own mind in the circumstances. That's the focus, is learning to deal with your mind in those.
As we said, those people who keep saying those harsh words, those are really, really close families, like the parents. And so it's probably better to keep a peaceful mind to be away from them. But because they are parents, we cannot really...
But if your parents, they say any harsh word, right?
Harsh word.
But it, for us, easy to patient. That you know, because our parents very kindness to us. You know? If somebody says harsh word, hard to patient. Yeah. Parents, you know.
If they are kind, how can they have the harsh words all the time?
It's just
so hard to convince myself.
Because they have a patience,
you know, they have a good motivation, you know. So that's why they are very harsh words.
Yeah. So they're still trying from their side. They're trying to do the best by their child, and they may say harsh words, but they're trying to give their advice, and they're still trying to look after their child.
But it doesn't mean that people can say harsh words because they have a good motivation, isn't it?
No.
This is specific to the parents. Parents, in trying to look after their child, will speak harshly or be hard on their child. Trying to look after their child. It's specific to parents trying to look after their child. Most parents, it's like this.
So they have a privilege from their parents.
Well, the kozo todang yore is the pama. Gang pama kabin chambu yin the todang yore sigurwa. Okay.
Have less and less reactions. You know, my reactions haven't stopped. You know, in all situations, but they're lessening. So you start to end up in sort of a numb place, where you kind of get to this tipping point, and suddenly the numb place becomes bigger than the place of reaction, and so you're suddenly in a very different landscape. A landscape of non.
Right.
And it's kind of a very different place. Not really. It feels unfamiliar. Unfamiliar in a nice way. But still unfamiliar, and I'm not kind of sure I guess I don't know the landscape, and I don't really know what to do with myself in that landscape, because there's really nothing, there's very little to do anymore, and I don't know what to do with myself in a place where I don't have to do.
Right.
If that kind of makes
sense. I think so. Yeah, I'm not sure I can translate it, but I'll do my best. Okay. Then the children, Sem matrogo yu na taran ja ja yu na karite na yabu dos de moran hama kosu dos. Yeah, so if your mind is undisturbed, that's very good.
Tati moran te tigo ati ti ya vare do ti
kyo mare. So that is good, that your mind is not disturbed is good. So it's not a fault. Moran des yam sembo yin samgados. Moran de sim trugma son des yam sembo. That's the.
Karichena.
The moran de. So when you're, just to clarify in my mind, so when you say your mind is undisturbed and it feels unfamiliar, does it, what would I say? Yeah, simatruga yawudo. So to not have it, to have an undisturbed mind is good. That, when you say apart from the unfamiliarity, it's not a sense of indifference, that it's just a non-disturbance.
No, it's just like we live in a world of learning and growing and striving and, you know, kind of always going up, and then it kind of feels like points just come where all the learning stops, and suddenly it's just kind of more being than growing.
Mm.
It's like there's just a sense of stopping.
Right.
Stopping in a good way, but just stopping, it's just all kind of falling away.
Right, so...
But I don't really know what to do with myself within that space.
Right, so it's not... So when your mind is undisturbed, what Geshe-la says, are you then asking what is the goal? Where do I go from here?
It feels like there is no goal.
Yeah.
So somebody says bad things to you, but your mind is still calm. Yeah, calm.
Yeah. Not permanently, but a lot more of the time.
And Gundur Shiva Mari, Shiva Pelchewari. Pelchewa Shivare.
Yeah. But that time, is there any reason? What reason your mind is temporarily calm? Do you have some reason?
Is there a reason for the calmness or that non-reaction?
Just because I've worked myself enough to get to the point where I'm not reacting to things anymore. There's no reason to react.
I guess the one thing I have a question of, because you talked about the world of growing and striving, so you're not just talking about not reacting to harm, but the sense of nothing further to develop. The chigde moran mi jemala no ba che wa sem ma tro wa chi po mare moran chi ta sem yergi tam ma go tagran de yunden yenten yergi tam ma go wa tagran ja ja na de gres de no ba che wa ma tro pa chi po mare So in terms of the undisturbed mind, yes, there is no need to further develop it in the sense of being at peace in that sense. But that wouldn't negate, for example, working to further develop compassion and working on the compassion and bodhicitta side of the teachings, even though the mind has reached a calm space. So while the mind itself is neutral, neither virtuous nor non-virtuous, that the mind has the potential to develop limitless qualities. So even recognizing that it has that neutral quality, at the same time, one continues to work so that it develops towards these limitless qualities that it has. Say that again.
The more dwells within the not doing, the neutrality.
Yeah.
Whilst they don't cancel each other out. They both coexist in the same space. There's the doing of the more.
Mm.
But there's also the non-doing at the same time, and they exist within the same space.
Right. The Semlan Nyamba Jadu, the Sem Nyamba Jadu, de Gunder Sem Nyamba Jadu, de Nyamdu Ngo Yargitawa, Nyamdu Chegroes, Segros. Re moran de sim de za tanyom de yin nanjin de she da lomaten nanjin de yin de ne sim na nan to ma shel wa nanjin yin bno de ne de mor yun den pel yin yam de
ma shel wa chin de sim lomaten sha sha de sim te de yin de sim a ya ge tam te mare
wa
ne ka ko an sim ko so re
Yeah, so that simply to have the mind in a neutral state where it's not reacting has not completed its potential of development. So that's and it's a state that we can lose again. It's like something one can also fall back from. So it is important to keep cultivating the practices like compassion and bodhicitta and so on, not just let it stay with the neutral state. Clear? Good?
Isn't that one of the jhanas, neither attachment nor non-attachment?
Sam didn't check the chapa. Machapa me, chapa me, something chick, reverse, segados.
Something.
There is one type of concentration which is relates to that. But it isn't a concentration that is one would say it's not a concentration that is leading to liberation. It needs to go beyond that. Gom. That's all. Do a gom chat. Any other questions? Yeah.
Can you explain that?
Okay. Dumba girwa lungat ki chobo ranchan shak kishta de la drosh japonas. Sem Dulwa. So if we look at the purpose of our practice is to subdue our mind. And sometimes people, when they begin to practice and they kind of begin to change to subdue the mind, then suddenly they start acting differently or speaking differently. And so it's saying don't kind of get caught in that behavior, but focus on keeping on subduing the mind. And if you focus on the mind, then eventually, naturally, the body and speech will change. But it's when someone is saying don't artificially change your outer behavior when you've just and miss the focus on the mind. Clear? Okay, so if we stop for a few minutes and just sit and go through what we've been covering this evening in one's own mind, like a meditation, okay? Good. So when you're kind of recalling to mind going through the points, if you can't remember at a certain point, then you can refer to what you've written down or the text and just bring it to mind. So taking a comfortable position. if you find your mind wandering or unsettled to begin with, then use your focus on the breath to kind of settle the mind and draw it inwards. And once it's settled, then you kind of go through what Yishla's been explaining. So I'm not going to explain more. We're just going to sit and you bring to mind the different points. do our prayers of dedication. Short mandala. Okay. So if you go over, you'll find dedication prayer of the gradual path to enlightenment, and that first set of prayers begins from my two collections, Vaster Space. It's a long prayer. From my two collections, Vaster Space. No? From my two collections, Vaster Space, that I have amassed from... Should be at the top of the page. Says Lama and prayer to dedication. No. Oh well.
Yes,
okay.
Some ones
all right. From my two collections, Vaster Space, that I have amassed from working with effort at this practice for a great length of time, may I become the chief leading Buddha for all those whose mind's wisdom is blinded by ignorance. Even if I do not reach this state, may I be held in your loving compassion for all my life's Manjushri. May I find the blessed, complete, greater paths of the teachings. May I please all the being Buddhas by practicing well. Using skillful means drawn by the strong force of compassion, clear the darkness from the minds of all beings with points of the path as I have discerned them. May I uphold Buddha's teachings for a very long time. With my heart going out with great compassion in whatever directions where the most precious teachings have not yet spread, or once spread have declined, may I expose this treasure of happiness and aid. May the minds of those who wish for liberation be granted bounteous peace. Buddha's deeds be nourished for a long time by this gradual path to enlightenment, completed due to the wondrous virtuous conduct of the Buddhas and their spiritual children. May all non-human beings who eliminate adversity make things conducive for practicing the excellent paths, never be parted in any of their lives from the purest path praised by the Buddhas. Whenever someone makes effort to act in accordance with the tenfold Mahayana virtuous practices, she always be assisted by the mighty ones, and oceans of prosperity spread everywhere. Then over the page. May the precious supreme mind of Bodhicitta, not yet born, arise and grow. May that born have no decline, but increase forevermore. May the precious mind of renunciation, not yet born, arise and grow. May that born have no decline, but increase forevermore. May the precious ultimate view of emptiness, not yet born, arise and grow. May that born have no decline, but increase forevermore. Just as the brave Manjushri and Samanta Bhadra too, like things as they are. Also, I dedicate all these merits in the best way that I may follow their supreme example. Victorious Lord Zangrapa, you who abide physically in excellent moral discipline, inwardly develop great compassion, which is the essential practice of a bodhisattva, secretly practicing supreme yoga, bliss, and emptiness of the two stages. May I always meet with your precious teaching. And in paradise, your source of good and happiness. Powerful Tenzin Gyatso Genrezek. May you stay until samsara ends. In all my lives, may I not be parted from perfect gurus. May I enjoy the abundance of the Dharma, perfecting all qualities of the stages and paths. May I quickly attain the state of Vajradhara.